Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 5 this morning, and or your smartphones, however you get to the Word, and I'm going to be looking out of the New King James Version this morning, and we're in Acts chapter 5. We've been going through the book of Acts. If you haven't been here, systematically going through a chapter at a time. We spent a lot of time in Acts 1 and Acts 2 talking about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's a part of the Godhead. He's not an it. He's not a force. He's a person. And so I encourage you to go back, and every one of these are standalone messages, but we're going through this a chapter at a time, and I've just been praying and asking the Lord to highlight something out of each chapter that I can bring to us that's going to help us in our daily walks with Him. And so today is Acts chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 16. And the title of this message, and you'll understand it by the time we get through with it today, is Signs, Wonders, and Salvations. And everybody said, amen. Look at somebody say, Signs, Wonders, and Salvations. That's what should be happening in a New Testament church. Signs, Wonders, and Salvation. I'm gonna before I get into the message, I just want to share something that's been on my heart for several weeks now. Well, ever since we started the book of Acts, I have been praying, God, I'm teaching your word, and I'm ready to see signs, amen, wonders, amen, and salvations and miracles. Amen. And because I'm teaching your word is going forth. Your word says that as we teach the word, there ought to be signs, wonders, salvations, miracles happening. And I've been praying about this, I'm just not satisfied where we're at right now. I'm just going to say that right now. And what God's doing in this house, and I want you to know this, if you call Harvest Fellowship Church your church home, He is creating an apostolic community of believers where He can rest His presence upon. It's not just about Mark Haney, okay? Yeah, I may be the pastor here and all that, but it has nothing to do with me. It's all about Him. But He's going to rest His presence on all of you guys, so that you can go out into the marketplace wherever you're at and see signs, wonders, and miracles follow you all the days of your life. Shouldn't just happen at church. Yeah, it happens here because this is where, as believers, most of the time it's going to be believers. I mean, we're going to have unbelievers come in this house too. But right now, I look out here and I think I know most of you as believers, but this is our huddle time on Sunday morning where we huddle up, we get in the presence of God. He puts His presence upon us. We're going to see signs, wonders, and salvations and miracles happen here, but that's also going to follow you out into the workplace, into your homes, into your families, into your businesses, and everywhere you go. And I've been believing for this, and God, I'm ready for you to pour out your spirit and all these things. And there was one Sunday when I taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I just knew God was going to come in this house and blow everybody out, and everybody was going to be on their faces before God. And everybody was going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I had in my mind and in my heart. And we had one person receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Sunday. That I know of. Okay? That I know of. And I went home discouraged. I'll just be honest with you. I was like, God, where are you at? You know? And God was like, Mark, can you not rejoice over the one? Yeah, I didn't show up like you thought I should show up. But I showed up. And I was still upset with, how many of you have been upset with God? Because He just didn't move the way you thought He ought to, right? And so I was just like, God, come on. You know, I'm teaching the book of Acts, and I'm ready for you to move in this house and do what only you can do. And I got a prophetic word from somebody one Sunday, and they came up to me and they said, hey, I got four words for you. And they said, not at this time. And that word, I struggled with that word for about a week because I thought it had something to do with personally, really, because there were some things going on in my life personally. As I've prayed into that word and pressed into that word, what I felt like God was saying is, Mark, not at this time, but you keep teaching the word, and it's going to happen. And as I pressed into that word, here, when I first got that word, it kind of came across negative to me. I mean, that's just how I perceived it. I was like, it had nothing to do with the person that delivered it to me. It was just the way that I received it. It was like, well, that just sounds pretty negative. Not at this time. You know, and God, I want it to happen now. You know? And as I pressed in that word, God said, I never did say it wasn't going to happen. And then I got encouraged. Because God just said, not at this time. But so I'm going to keep teaching the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you right now, under the authority of God's Word, just because we are teaching the Word of God here, there are going to be signs, wonders, miracles, and salvations happening. And it's going to start kind of slow, but I think it's going to just keep increasing. I see a day, guys, has nothing to do with our church, has nothing to do with me, but there's going to be people lined up here to get into church to be in God's presence. I really see that. I see that happening in the future. Because what I'm about to read to you in the book of Acts, they had such a powerful move of God in the New Testament. And we're supposed to be continuing the book of Acts, by the way, as a New Testament church. But they did it in the midst of corrupt government and everything else that was going on, and God's power was moving. And signs, wonders, and miracles and salvations were happening. So that's kind of my introduction to today's message, where I want you to hear from my heart and as we get into the Word here in Acts chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 16 is my main scriptures that we're going to look at today. And it says this, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders. Everybody say signs and wonders. What I love about the Word of God is it really never comes out and tells us what signs and wonders are. I'm going to share some with you here in a little bit with some of them that I know of. But God just kind of opens that up. He's God. He can do anything He wants. Okay, He can override nature, all kinds of things. Signs and wonders were done among the people. Some of the signs and wonders were healing and miracles, as was some of them. But there were some other things that happened that we know not of, just wonders. God is a God of wonders. And it says, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, or Solomon's colonnade, is what one translation says. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So basically, there's my message today, signs, wonders, and salvations. It says, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches get this, guys. I want you to really get into this word this morning. That at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude. They had that. You talk about a sign and a wonder. The shadow of Peter was healing people. In fact, when I was studying this out, what I found out was where they had their services or their meetings was, and I'm going to show you a picture of it here in a little bit, was in Solomon's porch. But they figured out where the apostles stayed at, because they had to sleep, right? And they had to go and eat and sleep and all those things. But they figured out how they got to Solomon's porch. And so people were so, there was such a move of God going on, they thought, man, if we can just get our sick aunt or sick grandma or whatever, if we can just get her there on a bed or on a couch and just have her lay in His presence, there's such an anointing here, such a power of God, that if He just passes by her, she's going to be healed. That's faith, guys. That's faith. And that's what was going on. People were like, what way does He go to Solomon's porch? Oh, He takes that street. Okay, let's go get Grandma down there. You know, her bed and her couch. Guys, we're going to see some of that in the last days. All right? And it says that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem. Listen to this. The word got out. They didn't have internet. They didn't have the things that we have today. They didn't have cell phones. But the word got out in all the surrounding cities. They were bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And look at this. And they were all healed. Not some of them, all of them. The word was getting out. They were bringing people from everywhere. Now, I'm going to give you 3 points that goes with this message today. And the first one is this. This was a prayer that was answered, okay? Just like I am praying for this to happen in our church, I pray that I want you to join with me, by the way. But this was a prayer that was answered. And it goes back to Acts chapter 4. So we're going to back up to Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to show you where they prayed this prayer at. And it's starting in verse 23. In Acts 4, verse 23, it says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of Your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against Your holy servant whom You anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, We're gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and I just love this prayer. It says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word. And then here it is, verse 30. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They prayed that prayer in Acts 4, and then God answered that prayer in Acts chapter 5, what we just read in verses 12 through 16. It says, and when they had prayed, listen to this, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Woo! I believe there's going to come a day when this building is going to shake with the presence of God. It shook one time. We had an earthquake here, by the way. And there's a split in our bathroom back there because of that, okay? That was an earthquake. There's going to be a day when this building shakes with the presence of God. I believe that with all of my heart. Acts 1:8, guys. We looked this back at when we was in Acts chapter 1. They were praying for this. Jesus told them to go wait in Jerusalem for this. And he told them, this is Jesus speaking, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, okay? Now, they prayed, what they prayed for was power, that they would have boldness, that God would do signs, wonders, and miracles through them, by his hand would stretch through them to do these signs, wonders, and miracles. They prayed for power. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm a pastor that I am tired of going with the next marketing gimmick for church, okay? I'm tired of going to the next church conference for church. What we need in the church of Jesus Christ today, in the New Testament church, is the power of God. That's what's going to bring people in. That's what's going to win this whole nation to God. That's what's going to win this state to God. Not the next marketing gimmick. It's going to be the power of God. Now, so when the power of God comes, when God shows up, he does what only he can do. And so I'm going to call this number 2 is power displayed, okay? Power displayed. And I'm going to go back and read it again in Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Continuing power in the church. It says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Now, what I want to show you is Solomon's porch, okay? That's what Solomon's temple looked like back in the day. They say that the size of this, and I know that's just a picture of it, but I want you to get this in your mind. The size of Solomon's temple and what you see, those courts on both sides, and then you see the pillars underneath there, that's Solomon's porch. So that's where they would have their meetings at or their services at, because it was kind of like an amphitheater. There was rock, a stone, and then so it was like, you know, it magnified their voices when they was teaching the word of God. That's where it happened at. They say the size of that whole court or what you see there in that picture was about the size of 15 football fields. So that kind of gives you an idea how big Solomon's temple was. It was a sight to behold, all right? And so that's where this was going on at. And now just jump down to verse 14. It says, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So there's signs, wonders, and salvation. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And we all go, yes and amen. Wish that could happen today. And so when I was reading that, I was like, God, has this ever happened before in our day? And it has. And some of you in here have witnessed some of these things happening in your church life that you've walked in. I have witnessed some of them. I'm going to share some of them today. But what I'm wanting to do with this message today, guys, is I'm praying that it bursts a hunger and a thirst in you like it's doing in me for signs, wonders, and miracles in the power of God. I'm tired of church as usual. It's wearing this pastor out, okay? And when you're walking in the power of God, it's all him and none of you. and it's easy, okay? And so this has happened, and I know there's been other things, but I'm going to share one where it has happened at. There's been others since then, but the one that happened was Azusa Street Revival. Some of you, if you've been around Pentecost, you've heard of this. It was led by that gentleman right there. He was a one-eyed black preacher, and his name was William J. Seymour. And when he started this revival, when he started these meetings, he hadn't even received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. He believed it because he saw it in the Word of God, and he was wanting it and desiring it. And as he went along, of course, he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But the Azusa Street Revival was a historic series of revival meetings that took place in Los Angeles, California, and it was led by William J. Seymour, an African-American preacher. The revival began on April the 9th, 1906, and it continued until roughly around 1915 when I was studying this. And I love reading about past revivals and past moves of God, and here's the reason why. Is because we can learn from past moves of God, we can learn what to do, and we can also learn what not to do. Okay? How many of you ever heard about in the 90s, there was the Pensacola, Florida revival? Okay? Guess what I did? I drove 16 hours to go to that, just be in that presence. I drove that far because I wanted to be in that anointing. I want to be in that. I drove there, and then I came back, and of course, at that time, I was in an Assemblies of God church. And so this happened in Assemblies of God church. This is some things I learned not to do, is when I came back, there was a lot of churches and a lot of pastors that said, we're going to copycat that. And so we're going to do exactly what they did. We're going to have meetings every night, and we're just going to believe that God's going to show up. Now, that's okay if God tells you to do it. And God will give you the anointing. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the manpower. He'll give you everything to do it. But if God hadn't told you to do that and you try to do that in the flesh, guess what? You wear everybody out, including yourself. So I was in a church that tried to copycat that. And I witnessed firsthand that it was wearing everybody out. I had a lady, there was a lady, I'll never forget this, she led our missionettes program at Assembly of God Church. And so every night she had to be at church to lead our missionettes program, which was little girls. And she worked a full-time job. She got up one night in the pulpit and she broke down and started bawling because she was wore smooth out. And of course, you know what everybody else thought in the church? We're in a move of God. Really, they did. And I was sitting out there and I had enough sense to know, bless her heart, she is wore smooth out. And I was on staff in this church at the time, and I was wore smooth out. And I was like, this is not of God. Yeah, God is a God of grace, and he honors his word when his word is preached. So there was things happening, but it was not what Pensacola, Florida was experiencing because we were trying to copycat it. Does everybody understand that? Okay. And so there's things that you can do and what you don't do. And I learned from that. That's just something you don't do. Not unless God tells you to, you can't do that. And so when you're in a move of God, here's one of the things that you're going to learn. When God moves, supernatural activity increases. Not only does his activity increase, but also demonic activity increases. And here's the reason why, is because the light attracts bugs. All right? So I'm just telling you right now, when God shows up here, when that time is right, there will be bugs. And we need to squash them in Jesus' name. Okay? Because we have that authority in Jesus' name. But God's supernatural, his power is going to override all of that. And so there is good and evil increases during the move of God. Now I'm just going to share with you some things from this Azusa Street Revival. And one of the things that's on my heart to tell us all is when God moves, supernatural activity increases. And what grieves God is that when he moves and we miss it, or when he moves and people scoff at it. And I promise you, when he begins to move here, we will have people not only in this community but other communities scoff it. But we'll also have people embrace it. And I want us to be the people that embrace it and want it and desire it for it to happen. And I want it to last as long as God wants it to last. All right? Now, this Azusa Street Revival, it started slow, and it built and grew, and William Seymour preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he hadn't even received it yet, but he did receive it because he saw it in the Word of God. Now listen to this. People that were walking to the revival, they would have people, you know, thronging to come into this place where they held the meetings at. People walking to the revival, but there was also people that came to the revival just to mock it. But listen to this, people walking to the revival and people mocking the revival on the streets were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? I love how God can just do that. But listen to this, guys, and I want you to believe for this kind of stuff, okay? Guys, this stuff can happen today. It didn't just go out with the apostles. Listen to this. There was a man that came into one of their meetings one time, and they said, even William Seymour said, he goes, I just came and just ready for God to show up, because, and there was times he would show up in a magnificent way, and then there was times that he didn't. And he said, because he's God and I'm not, and you can't manufacture it and you can't make it happen. But he said there was one time in one of their meetings, there was a man that came in with a wooden leg, and that he had gangrene in, but he had gangrene in the stump of his leg, all right? And the main reason that he came to the meeting was he had heard that there's healings that go on here. And here's the deal, I want to say this before I get any further into this, is it wasn't just through William J. Seymour, and it wasn't just through the Apostle Peter, it was through everybody that was there. God was using everybody there to bring healing to people. And so there was even people during, I mean, William J. Seymour was leading the services, of course, but the people in the church that were believing for this with him, they were praying for people as they came in, and healings were just taking place all over the place. And so this guy come in, and he said he'd heard that, hey, if I go there, they're going to pray for me, and I've been hearing about people getting healed, and man, I need to really get this gangrene out of my stump. You would too, amen? And so he comes in. And I love what William J. Seymour said. He said, you know what? He told him, I just want you to lay hands on me, and I'm just believing for this gangrene to be healed in Jesus' name. And he said, well, it's going to be impossible for God to give you a new leg while you're wearing a wooden leg. And the guy was like, do what? And he said, I just came here to get gangrene taken care of. And he goes, if you'll believe with me, I'm going to believe with you. Take that wooden leg off. And we're going to believe together, and we're going to let Jesus' name be glorified in this house tonight. So the guy said, okay. So he took his wooden leg off, and William Seymour laid hands on that gangrene stump and said, Lord Jesus, let your name be glorified. Heal this man's leg. And they said, and there was eyewitnesses to this, that instantly this man's leg began to grow out, and in a matter of minutes, he was up running around the room with a brand new leg. Grew back from a stump. Okay. Creative miracles. God can still do that today. And there was several eyewitnesses to that. There was also another time, another limb that grew out was a man who had lost his arm in a factory accident. And he couldn't provide for his family. He went to the meetings, and they prayed for him there. And they said his arm, and here's the deal. You just can't, because God did it this way for that guy, He does it different for everybody. I don't understand that. He's God, we're not. But this guy, they prayed for him, and his arm took about, and it was during the service, but it took about 2 hours for his arm to grow back. But it grew back. It took 2 hours, and he was excited about that. It didn't happen instantly. It took 2 hours. But, hey, he got it all back, and that was awesome. I love this story. There was a teacher. And see, I love reading these stories of past revivals because they build your faith is what they do. And so there was a teacher that came, and he had, and listen to this, this teacher came and was not a believer and didn't even believe anything can happen, but he still, and this will happen too here, but this teacher still brought his 35 deaf students to the meetings because he heard that there had been people that was deaf that had been healed. He didn't believe that it could happen. He just wanted to come and just see, hey, I'm just going to see if it'll happen. Brought all 35 of his students, and he was a deaf teacher. Teacher didn't believe, and there was a man in the congregation, this wasn't even William Seymour, there was a man in the congregation, and because of his job and his life situations, he couldn't come to the service because God gave them the strength to do this almost nightly, okay, but because of his job situation, he could only come about 3 nights a week, and so he was there in the congregation this night when this teacher came in with these 35 deaf students. And he asked the teacher about them, and they said, well, they're deaf. They can't hear anything. I brought them thinking, you know, maybe you guys can pray for them and see what happens. And so this guy was quizzing, said, well, are you a believer? And he's like, no, not really. No, I don't know if I believe all this stuff that y'all are doing here, you know. He said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you go sit over there And he didn't know it, but that was the naughty chair where they told him to go sit. And these 35 students couldn't understand anything. And this man went over to him, and he told him, he said, "What I want you to do is I want every one of you to hold hands." And they held hands, these 35 students. And he went to the one on the end, and he whispered in his ear, and he said, "I command this deaf and dumb spirit to leave in the name of Jesus Christ." And all 35 of them were restored to their hearing. 35 of them. There was another time in the service, in one of their services, that William Seymour, he pointed at a dozen people that were there. They were older people, elderly people, but some of them were in wheelchairs. Some of them had to be kind of basically carried in the service, and none of them could walk. There was about 12 of them. None of them could walk, and he said during the service, he pointed at them, and he said, "By the time this service is over, you're going to regain the power to walk," and they all did. And they walked out of the service that night. Guys, God can do amazing signs, wonders, and miracles, and he still heals today. He wants to do that kind of stuff today, but we got to believe for it, all right? He don't just show up, but we got to be a people that's believing for it. Here's number two under this one about power displayed. When God moves, he will do wonders that will cause the world to take notice. And wonders are tangible demonstrations of God's presence. All right. Now here's something I just want to share with you real quick about the God of wonders. God's wonders reveal his omnipotence, or that he's all powerful. A story of this is in the book of Exodus, in the story of the children of Israel in Egypt. God overrode every one of their gods that they had. All right, he showed them that he was the all-powerful God. God's wonders reveal his love and his protection. God's wonders, now get this, God's wonders carry out acts of judgment. And if you'll read the first part of the book of Acts, New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead because they lied to God. That's a wonder. And when that happened, people got saved. Okay? Because it was a sign and wonder and salvations. And it was God's wonders carry out acts of judgment. God's wonders, there's another, you know, in the Old Testament, when God said, you know, cover your doorposts, and the angel of death was going to come over, you know. And that, by the way, all those babies in Egypt that died, the firstborn, they went to heaven. Okay? But God is a God of wonders, and it made people wonder back then. God's wonders carry out acts of judgment. God's wonders reveal his kingdom. And God's wonders are supernatural acts beyond human understanding. Can't understand them. Some of these meetings that they had at Azusa Street, they said it didn't happen all the time, but some of their meetings they would have what people described as like a mist would come in, and sometimes it would be a foot high from the ground. And they even tried to turn on fans to make it move. It wouldn't move. Or this mist would hover over their heads. And what they realized is whenever that was there, when that mist, what they called that mist or that cloud of glory, if you'll read the Old Testament, it's called the Shekinah cloud of glory, came in. And they realized that when that was there, that greater miracles happened when it was there than when it wasn't. But they couldn't manufacture it to be there. You know, they believed for it and they prayed for it, but when it was there, greater things happened. Listen to this. So, Matt, if you get called on a fire department, my brother's on the fire department over Harvest Fellowship Church, I pray that this happens. It says several times the fire department was called because people said the building was on fire. And when they had meetings, literally people that drove by would see that the building was on fire. Book of Acts, what did they say? Came in like the wind, the rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire. They even said that they could see fire coming down from the heavens onto the building. People driving by would see this. And there were several times that the fire department was called in Los Angeles because they thought the building was on fire. Another person that carried this kind of anointing in her ministry was Catherine Kuhlman. I told you about William Seymour, I want to tell you. And if you see her, she's just this little old frail-looking old lady. But she loved Jesus, and she loved his people. And when she would travel, she didn't have her own private plane or anything like that, so she had to go to the airport to go to her meetings when she'd have a meeting. And when she'd go into an airport, things would happen. The power of God would show up. And she would have people fall out under the power of God in the airport. Okay? It was very disruptive. She's trying to get to the airplane. People are falling out under the power of God. And this happens on several occasions at this airport where she lived at that she had to go to catch a plane to go to her meetings. And it started happening so often that the word got out about Catherine Kuhlman's coming, and so it went up the food chain in the airplane company, and they went up to upper management to the point where the CEO called her and said, "Mrs. Kuhlman, I understand you're a minister." "Yes, I'm a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ." "We understand every time you come to the airport, things happen. People fall out under the power of God. They can't do their job, you know." And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do first-class treatment for you, Mrs. Kuhlman, and I'm going to send a guy to come pick you up and shuttle you straight to the airplane. God has his ways, don't he? And so that's what started happening with her, because that was always happening. In one of her meetings, she had a prophetic word for a young couple that was in her meeting, and she called them out. And, you know, we've had that happen here before, but she called out this young couple to come forward in one of her meetings, and y'all would be sitting here just like this. And as the young couple was coming forward, the wind of the Holy Spirit hit them, and they were literally, I mean, this guy's coat was blowing back, her hair was blowing back, but nobody around them was affected. And this young couple fell on their face before God. And that a lot of people saw that, the young couple in their meeting with the wind of the Holy Spirit. Guys, it still happens today. I've seen it. I've tasted a little bit of it, and I've tasted just enough that I want more of it, you know. And I'll never forget one time I was, and I think I've shared this story before, but I'm going to share it again. One of the times that I witnessed just a little bit of something like this was I oversaw Rural Rangers at an Assembly of God church. We got rained out of our camp out, and we were coming back home, and we decided we're going to stay the night at the church and have these. And we had boys from the ages about 8 to 12, and maybe had a dozen of them, and we had food, and we was like, okay, we're just going to camp out in the church, and we'll cook breakfast for them the next morning. And I said, we'll have a little service on that night, you know, and I think it was on a Friday night, so we had a little service there in our, it was actually our, like, recreational room where we had basketball court and stuff. So we're in there, and we have a little service, and I start this service, and this little boy comes up to me, and I'd shared scripture with him, a little devotion. This little boy came up to me, and he just wanted to pray for his parents and pray for his family. So I knelt down in front of him, and I had my two guys. They were called commanders and Royal Rangers, but two guys that helped me were commanders standing on my left and my right. And one of the guys, he weighed well over 300 pounds, okay? He was a big boy. And his name was Dennis Cook. I hope he's listening to this. But we're sitting there, and I kneel down in front of this little boy, and I put my hands on his chest, and I start praying for him. And I've got all these other little boys are sitting on the front row in front, and I had my eyes closed. I'll be honest with you, I was too scared to open my eyes when this happened, after this happened. But I'm sitting there with my eyes closed, and I had my hands on him, and I start praying, and I'm believing with him for his parents and his family. And these two guys are just standing next to me, and then all of a sudden, I feel wind. I mean, it was like somebody opened the back door. All right, and the wind was coming in, and I feel my hair going back, and I'm like, who just come in? You know, and I'm thinking this in my mind, and I'm still praying, and all of a sudden, I hear these two guys just go, boom, boom. Of course, the one that weighed over 300, I made a louder boom, boom. And I look up, and they're both on the floor, and thank God I was on my knees, or I'd have been out too. And then all these little boys I didn't have to say a word, didn't have to do nothing. They all came forward and fell on their faces before God and were praying. And they were there for 3 hours doing that. And I went over there and sat down and just watched it and was just worshiping God. It was powerful. And you can't corral 8-year-old boys and 12-year-old boys for 3 hours like that. But they were all just laid out in front of God, just praying for their families, interceding. It was the most miraculous thing I've ever seen in my life. And I literally went over there and sat down and just was weeping and just worshiping God. It was powerful. And my two guys were just laid out on the floor. And they woke up, they came to, and they was like, what in the world was that? I was like, well, you guys just experienced the power of God. It was powerful. And guys, when that happens, nobody questions that it isn't God. All right? They know it's God. Even those little boys knew it was God. They didn't have me. I didn't have to say a word. Inside God, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that God puts eternity in man's heart. In every one of us, down deep, I don't care if you're an unbeliever or what, down deep inside of your heart, you know there's a God. And those little boys knew God was in the house. God, my Father's in the house, and they were just prostrate before God praying for their families. Now, one of the things I learned about this Azusa Street Revival and that I'm hanging my hat on is this. There were several prophecies during this time span of this revival that they had at Azusa Street, and this prophecy came through different believers at different times that they didn't even know each other, but it was the same prophecy, and this was the prophecy, was given that in about 100 years, there will be more Azusa Street revivals, but they will happen in many places. Now, here's what I want to say to all of us. I want Harvest Fellowship Church to be one of those places, and I want to be smack dab in the middle of it. And then the reason why is because here's number three, purpose fulfilled. This last day, and I believe we're going to be coming into it, and I believe it's sooner than we all think, and it's going to happen at a rapid rate of speed, but it's going to be this last day harvest of God bringing in the harvest, all right? And in Acts 5, verse 12 and verse 14, it says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." So there it is, signs, wonders, and salvations. I'm going to take you through a few other scriptures in the book of Acts where this happens again, not just through the apostle Peter. Here's Philip. He's not even an apostle. It says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed." And so when you read that, they heeded to his voice, and what that means is that there were signs, wonders, and salvations. Go a little bit further in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 9, it says, "There he found a certain man named Ananias who had been bedridden for 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, 'Ananias, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed.' Then he arose immediately, and so all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." So here we go again. There were signs, wonders, and salvations. Everybody getting it? Yeah. Wasn't a church marketing gimmick that got them to come to church, all right? And I'm going to go ahead and say this, all right? God forgive me, but I'm going to say it. It wasn't donuts with Dad. It wasn't muffins with Mom, okay? It was the power of God that got people there. It wasn't a church fellowship dinner. It was the power of God that got people to the church house to hear the gospel message. I just felt a pushback and somebody saying, "We're not having muffins or donuts anymore." I didn't say that. Believe me, Pastor Mark, I don't turn down food, okay? We're still going to have church fellowship dinners every now and then, all right? Just not today. But I want more of the power of God. Acts chapter 9, verses 40 through 42, it says, "But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.'" This is where somebody was raised from the dead, a little girl. "And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa." I believe that probably would have got well known throughout all Joppa. And it says, "And many believed on the Lord." So there we go again. Signs, wonders, and salvations. And everybody said, amen. Amen. That's what I want happening at Harvest Fellowship Church. I want it. I desire it, and I want you guys to believe with me for it, all right? You're an active participant in this. It's not the Mark Haney show. It's not the Harvest Fellowship Church show. It's all of us together bringing in this last day harvest. God wants this anointing to rest on you. I got my grandkids here today. They're back in here back, and when I was thinking about this, I want Jarek, I want Ava to experience the power of God. Because when your child experiences the power of God, they're never going to stray away. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And the first thing that I want to do is make sure everybody here under the sound of my voice and those that are watching online and those that will be listening to this by radio, that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so, even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. The Bible says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want you to repeat this prayer with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I want, if you're here today, and I want every head bowed and every eye closed, that's just between you and the Lord. And if you're here today and you say that you have something in your body, we read in the book of Acts about how people were healed. And I believe that God's word has went forth. I believe faith has been stirred up, that you want to receive your healing. And so if you're here and you need healing, I just want you to stand up right where you're at. I'm going to have you come up here, but I just want you to stand up right where you're at. And as soon as you stand up, prayer partners, I want you to go to somebody right now, and I just want you to lay hands on them, okay? Yeah, go ahead, prayer partners. Go ahead and move to whoever it is, and I want you to move around and just go and just lay hands, all right? The Bible says that when we lay hands on people, on the sick, they shall be healed, all right? You don't even have to ask them what it is, all right? We don't even need to hear the doctor's report, okay? Faith is in the house, and I thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for everything that we have need of. But I want you to move around and lay your hands on people, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Betty, will you go back there to Tim? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray, and as they're laying hands on you, I'm just believing that whatever is going on is going to line up with the Word of God and that you're going to be healed. Father, we thank you and praise you that you created us, God. Lord, you're our creator. God, we do thank you. I just want to go ahead and thank you, Lord, that there's many things that you have placed on this planet to help heal us. There's been doctors. There's medicine. But God, here's the deal. We understand that they are not the great physician. We understand that you are. And God, I think there's some here today that have been to doctors, and it's just like the woman that had the issue of blood. She had exhausted everything that she knew to do. And then there was a day that she said, you know what, Jesus is in town, and if I can just press through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be healed. And so, Lord, I just feel like there's somebody here today. They're either here right now being prayed for, or they're listening online today, and that's their case. And so, God, I thank you that this is their moment of healing in Jesus' name. God, faith has been stirred up. They want to receive everything that you have for them. And God, as we lay hands, as everyone here lays hands on those that are needing healing in their body, God, I thank you that your healing virtue is flowing in this house today, God. Everything is lining up, God, in the name of Jesus. Muscle spasms, God, blood disorders, God, vertebrae, God, bones, God, the structure of our bodies, God, is all lining up with the Word of God. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you by your Spirit, you're moving in this house. You're the Lord God, our healer. God, by his stripes, we are healed. Jesus took those stripes upon his back for our healing. God, we claim that as your children today. That's our inheritance as your children. God, we claim healing today in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you that you're moving through this house today to bring healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for healing. Lord, there's some people here today that didn't stand. They don't even know what's going on in their body. You're healing people that don't even know that they need healing today, God, just because they're in your presence, God. And Lord, we receive that, Lord. We receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you're moving right now, God. I just sense so strongly, God, that there's some deep things that have been there for a long time that are starting to line up with the Word of God, Lord, and you're healing them right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Signs, wonders, and miracles and healing, God, are available today. They're our right as your children, Lord, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that the spirit of infirmity, there's some things here that's been caused by an evil spirit, a spirit of infirmity. God, I thank you that the spirit of infirmity is leaving this place today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, hearts are being, there's organs, God, hearts, God, are being healed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we thank you right now for your healing, Lord. We thank you for your healing virtue. We thank you that when Jesus was here, he healed, and he's still healing today. And God, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Look at somebody and say, I am healed. Amen. You are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. And I want you to grab hands with somebody that's there next to you. All right? And I'm going to pray this blessing over all of us today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, signs, wonders, and salvations. Keep believing for it. Hey, brother. Love you, Leroy.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Talk about...